We're going to look at those first five verses together. But before we do that, let me back up and tell you why we're doing Ruth right at this time. We have been studying, who have we been studying? Abraham. We started in Genesis 11 all the way through Genesis chapter 22. Well, in Genesis 12, there's a covenant given to Abraham. I'm going to make a nation of you. And you're going to have land, and you're going to bless every nation on earth. So this is called the Abrahamic covenant. It's a covenant that was made to him. And so what we've been doing is following that. Well, in about Genesis chapter 25, Abraham dies. And in the rest of the book of Genesis, there's some key figures, but there's one key figure beginning in Genesis chapter 35 through 50. Without looking, who is that key person? It's Joseph. Joseph. What happens is Abraham dies, but that group of people continues to grow and multiply. Then there's a famine in the land. And there's a son named Joseph who ends up into slavery, betrayed by his own brothers, and taken to Egypt, goes through some really difficult times there, but raises himself by God's work to a position of power and influence in the Egyptian society. And he comes and he saves the rest of his family. You know the story. And Genesis 35 to 50. What happens is that group of people moves to Egypt, to a part of Egypt called Goshen. And they keep growing and multiplying, and we're following that promise made to Abraham. The next leader arises, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, and Deuteronomy. In the book of Exodus, there arises a Pharaoh that did not know Joseph. And he takes this group of people and turns them into slaves. And they go through an incredibly difficult time. This is where you have the 10 plagues and all that information. And the leader that is raised up by God at that point is Moses. Moses, I don't know what I'm doing. I can't speak, God. You're going to lead this people to the promised land. So we have Exodus is obviously the Exodus. They leave. Leviticus, Numbers, and Deuteronomy is a retelling of the law. And I'm sorry, giving of the law and retelling of the law for the Jewish nation. At least a million of them leave Egypt. At least a million. They wander for how many years in the desert? 40 years in the desert. And they go through some amazing times. They get right outside the promised land, and God says to Moses, you're not going to lead them in. All right, next book of the Bible, next leader, who is it? Joshua. Very good. Joshua. So Joshua takes over when Moses goes to be with the Lord. And here you have the book of Joshua. Three main parts of Joshua: entering the promised land, conquering the promised land, and dividing the promised land. And so Joshua leads them. And as we go through the book of Joshua, they then take the land. And they are in the land. Remember, there's a promise made to Abraham that a Savior is going to be born who will, all the earth will be blessed through you. It's still going through these families. We get to Judges. Interesting book of the Bible. Judges. Pretty wild stories. There's not one key leader at this point after Joshua. We have what are called judges. And what happens with the people is as they're living in the land, they sin. God then gives them over to another people group, servitude, so to speak. Then he raises up a judge, salvation, and then they get back and right with God. And this circle goes on and on through the Old Testament book of Judges. Can you name any of the judges? Oh, yes. Thank you, Deborah. Do we have a Samson in here? How about a Gideon? Remember these names? The only left-handed judge. What's his name? This is these crazy things that I have to take in seminary that I remember, and I'm sorry, you got to... Ehud was the only left-handed judge. There's some... I mean, when we talk about the story of Deborah, God is working through judges, men and women. Deborah takes out a leader by driving a tent peg through his temple and kills him. There's some pretty intense stuff. Samson pulls in the columns and destroys thousands upon thousands of Philistines. Ehud approaches the king, takes his dagger, and kills the king, and it says the fat closed around the blade. The judge's period of time is very intense. So God raises up these individuals. There's a people group, though, that we started with that are very important. They're called the Moabites. We're going to talk about them this morning. The story of Ruth is a four-act play. It's written in an amazing way, and we're going to see some amazing themes come out of this. God's grace, God's mercy. What's cool about this? I am a romantic. I love love stories. This is a love story. We're going to see a love story. We're going to see it cloaked in the culture of that day. Some interesting things. Feet being uncovered. What's that all about? We'll get to that. That's Ruth 3. But in and through this, you have to understand that God steps in with that godly line that is continuing on, and Satan is attacking it all the time. He does not want a Redeemer coming through and being our Savior. The book of Ruth is a bridge where God's grace shines through and that godly line continues. In fact, at the end of the book, we'll have a little genealogy, and it's amazing to see who the main character of this book. She is the grandmother of somebody very important. So, that's kind of the history, the facts. Let's get into this story, though, and enjoy it. And let's better understand Ruth and God's relationship to the Jewish nation and how He protects them, guides them, and directs them. All right, you're with me? Verse 1. This would be Ruth chapter 1, verse 1. That's a very good place to begin, right? In the beginning. There's a song about that. All right, here we go. In the days when the judges ruled, there was a famine in the land, and a man from Bethlehem in Judah, together with his wife and two sons, went to live for a while in the country of Moab. All right, time during the judges. Very difficult time. Famine. They were constantly having famines. Lack of water. Excuse me, lack of food. And so what do? You do everything you can. And this particular family said, we're leaving Israel. That's a problem. We'll talk about it in just a minute. But you do everything you can to survive. During this time, there was peace between the nation of Israel, right here, and this people group, the Moabites. They have a history of wars and problems and difficulties and that, but right now it's a relative time of peace when this is written. Now, it's interesting. Let's look at a verse, at the last verse in the book of Judges. It's on the same page in your Bible. Now, this verse should be very common to some of you. Some of you may have never heard this. Judges 21:25, in those days Israel had no king. Not yet. They did not. Everyone did as he saw fit. What's the King James say? Everybody did what was right in their own eyes. If you read the King James or the New King James, everybody's doing what's right in their own eyes. This is a problem. But this is a stage onto which Ruth enters, the book of Ruth. So you can see that there are problems and there are difficulties. There's no king to lead them to the Lord. There's moral and spiritual decay. And there's a famine. There's financial problems. Sound familiar? People losing their jobs. And so, that's how it starts. Now, the book of Ruth, the first five verses are really dark. So So we're going to go dark here for a while, but it's going to be amazing as we go up and up and up through the rest of the chapters in this book. All right, the man's name was Elimelech. His wife's name, Naomi, and the names of their two sons were Mahlon and Chilion. They were Ephraites from Bethlehem. In other words, they were from that general area, Bethlehem, Judah. And they went to Moab and lived there. So this family is going through difficult times. They were looking at things to do. How do we make ends meet? What can we do? Now, what I believe is God gives us a lot of freedom, but he also gives us direct guidelines. One of the guidelines back in the book of Joshua was, you are to live in the land I give you. Do not go to other lands. Do not leave Israel. Part of it was because all the nations around them were idolaters. They had no sense of God, no following of God. And he said, don't leave the land. Well, Elimelech and his family got together and they decided to leave the land and go not far, but go to a place called Moab, where a people group called the Moabites were living. Now, where do the Moabites come from? And this is like another dark chapter. Back in Genesis, chapter 19, this is Sodom and Gomorrah destroyed. Destroyed completely. And Lot and his daughters are in a cave. And we looked at this chapter, and it's just some really dark stuff, folks. But there was incest between Lot and his daughters. And the people group that came out of that are the Moabites. The Bible is pretty deliberate and pretty decisive in describing these things. So you take an absolutely heinous sin, incest, and God still blessed it in this case. In this case, he did. And the Moabites have now taken up and are actually a nation and a people group. That's where they began. And so this is this line going through here. And as you follow through, that's what's happened to Lot and his daughters hundreds of years later now, and the people that have come from there. Verse 3. Now Elimelech, Naomi's husband, died, and she was left with her two sons. All right. So it gets even darker. They leave for a period of time, which they should not have done. They then go, and then Elimelech dies, and Naomi is left with her two sons. Elimelech really made a decision here to go to Moab, a decision that was out of the will of God. I'm sure the family talked about this, but ultimately, in that culture, in that society, he had the final word. He made that decision, and they decided to go there, and he dies. Not good. But there's a principle in these first three verses. There's a bunch of culture here, a bunch of stories about Moabites, but there's a principle here during difficult days that we cannot overlook in these first three verses. A danger during difficult days, okay, that's the overall message. Do not make a decision to depart from the will of God. Do not make a decision to depart from the will of God. What did he do wrong here? He left the land. He knew he was not supposed to leave and go to any other group. Do not make decisions to depart from the will of God. And that is what he did. And that's the danger during difficult days. Oh man, there's a lot of pressure, a lot of difficulty. You don't know my situation. And so I'm going to make a decision. And in most cases, the decision may lead me into violating God's moral law. Moral law, the Ten Commandments. Any decision you make that leads you to violate any of the Ten Commandments is not God's will. You cannot rationalize that. You cannot justify it. It is not his will. And so, unfortunately for them, they made a decision to leave and to go to Moab, and then he dies, which complicates the problem even more, and the plot thickens, so to speak. But for us today, it's tough. And I know as I've talked to people and trying to figure out, well, what do I do now? My circumstances. Let me tell you one thing you don't do. Do not violate God's moral will, God's moral law, and go against his will. You will not be blessed for doing that. And I gave you as a basic example, and I'm going to talk in a few minutes about making decisions. How would you make decisions? Let me get to that. I'm getting to that in just a few minutes. But don't make any decision that would violate His moral will. Any decision that would lead you into an opportunity where you've got to steal, that is not God's will. Or you'd have to lie. Or you'd have to compromise things. Do not make a decision outside the will of God. And this family did, unfortunately. Do not make that decision. Well, what could the results be? So on your outline then, what might those results look like? The consequences could be, and on your outline there's three little boxes there. One is weakness. So I make a decision. I know it's not God's will. I'm in direct sin and disobedience to God. What could be the consequences? Weakness, sickness, and the third one, death. There's only one place in the New Testament that really spells this out, and it's 1 Corinthians 11, what I was talking to you about. In 1 Corinthians 11, they were, if you can imagine, getting drunk at the Lord's table. They were doing horrendous things. They were sinning against God. Break God's will, break His law, enter into direct sin against Him, and you could face weakness, sickness, and death. And that's not me saying this. This is 1 Corinthians 11:30. So can we bring that? I believe that verse up. That's it. Say this with me. That is why many among you are weak and sick, and a number of you have fallen asleep, died. And he said this to the Corinthians after they had treated the Lord's table in this way. When you go against God's will, you enter into sin. When you continually are in a pattern of sin, the results could be that. Be careful. During difficult days, and it's so easy to do what this family did. I mean, knowing where they were at, but God said, do not leave the land. Don't do it. And they did. And what happened? Elimelech died. What happens in verse 4? They married Moabite women, one named Orpah, the other Ruth. After they had lived there about 10 years, so how long were they there? 10 years. Both who? Maon and Chilion also died. And Naomi was left without her two sons and her husband. All right, so they married Moabite women. The two sons did. So you have the initial decision here to leave the land, which was wrong. And then marrying Moabite women, can you do that? Is that okay? Now this is an interesting, I know. This is kind of an interesting thought. And it's important to understanding this story, so that's why I'm going there. Let's look at a couple of verses here that will help us understand this. This is Deuteronomy 7, verses 1 to 3. Okay, Deuteronomy, again, giving a re-giving of the law to the generation that actually goes into Egypt. All right, when the Lord your God brings you into the land, the promised land, you are entering to possess and drives out before you many nations. All right, so here we have all these tites, right? The Hittites, Girgashites, Amorites, Canaanites, Perizzites, Hivites, Termites, and Jebusites. That's such a bad joke, but I can't resist. There's too many of these not to say that. Just make sure you guys are awake. You're awake. All right, and Jebusites, seven nations larger and stronger than you, so you are not to do that. And when the Lord your God has delivered them over to you and have defeated them, you must totally destroy them. Why? Because of the sin and the practice in their lives will lead you away from me. And that's what's tough about Joshua. They destroyed everything most of the time. Over to you, and you have defeated them. Then you must destroy them totally. Make no treaty with them and show them no mercy. This is God speaking. Next verse. Do not what? Intermarry with them. Do not give your daughters to their sons or take their daughters for your sons. Now, what's interesting on that list, who's not on that list? Moabites are not on that list. All right. And in fact, interesting thing, because I've always thought that when they married Moabite women, they were directly in sin because they married some of these people. Problem is, I can't find a list that tells me that. All right, so let's do this. I don't have this on the overhead. Go to Deuteronomy 23 and verse 3. And I, honestly, folks, 23:3, and I know you have to find it. Come on. My goodness, Brian. 23. All right. Now, it's interesting. Look at chapter 21, Atonement for Unsolved Murder, Marrying a Captive Woman, The Right of the Firstborn, A Rebellious Son, Various Laws. Chapter 22, Marriage Violations. Chapter 23, Exclusions from the Assembly. Now, this is interesting. Drop down to verse 2. No one born of a forbidden marriage, nor any of his descendants, may enter the assembly of the Lord, even down to the 10th generation. All right, so who are these people? Verse 3, no Ammonite or Moabite or any of his descendants may enter the assembly of the Lord, even down to the 10th generation. Why? Verse 4, for they did not come to meet you with bread and water on your way when you came out of Egypt and hired this guy, remember Balaam, the son of Beor, to pronounce a curse on you. However, the Lord your God would not listen to Balaam, but turned the curse into a blessing for you because the Lord your God loves you. Do not seek a treaty of friendship with them for as long as you live. All right. It's interesting because, folks, I have always thought to marry a Moabite woman was not right. I'm not sure I'm convinced of that. In researching this, it's not expressly forbidden, but there's a problem, and it has to do with worshiping God. And it has to do with that the Moabite that they would marry could not go into the assembly and worship God together. So there would be problems, but I don't see anything that forbids them from marrying a Moabite. Now, some of you folks have studied the Bible longer than I have, and if you can find a verse that tells me that I could not find one, and I've always been taught this and always thought this. All right, the point is, though, that they married these women. The women outlived the men, and they died. Isn't this a happy story? Everybody's in trouble. There's difficult times. There's famine. There's people dying. People getting married and people dying. And here's Naomi with two sister-in-laws. Yeah, daughter-in-law, there we go. Daughter-in-law, thank you. And it's bleak and it's bad, and that's the way this starts. And it just, you know, you start moving in this story and it goes down for a while, but then it makes an amazing turn, and we'll get to that. But it's just dark, difficult days right now. All right, so be aware. Let's go to your outline. Let's finish out the rest of this for just a moment. Be aware, first and foremost, Elimelech would carry the responsibility for this decision. It was for the family, but he would. Dad, today, be aware of the importance of your decisions. Your decisions affect your family. They do. Be aware of those decisions. All right, second statement. Your example, Dad, is a key for your family. So he makes a decision to get them into the land. Then they marry Moabite women, which probably is not ideal based on the worship, but as far as I can tell, folks, not forbidden, where all the others are listed and forbidden. Dad, decisions, be aware of those. And as a family, be aware of these. Now, what's the problem here? Here's the problem with Naomi. She is destitute right now. She has no property because it's not in that land. It's back in Israel. And she has no heir. This is important. H-E-I-R, an heir. These are important things in that day and that culture for them. So she is going through amazingly hard times. All right, let's talk about decisions then. as a family making decisions, as a husband and a wife making decisions. Let me just, right by the side on your outline there, let me just give you a couple steps here. Number one is you're going to pray about it. That is a given. If you're not praying about it, hello? Praying about it begins this whole process. Second, seek wise counsel. I say wise counsel. Don't just seek counsel. Seek wise counsel. Someone who has experience may be doing what you're doing. Someone you know as a spiritual leader, mentor, friend. Seek wise counsel. You can get counsel from anybody. You want wise counsel when you get counsel. Excuse me. Third, list the pros and cons. List the pros and cons. Do this. I'm not going to do that. No, do this. List the pros. It's good because of this. And maybe it's not so good because of that. This and that and this and that. List the pros and cons. All right? Next, as you look at all the pros and cons, the next step is don't violate God's moral law. Don't violate God's moral law. If this decision will lead you to a place where you're going to violate biblical principles, don't do it. Don't do it. All right? Lots of freedom. There's still, I believe, a lot of freedom in here. And then the final thing is make the decision and live with the consequences, good or bad. Good or bad. I just have to smile. I've talked to people about this process for making decisions. I've talked to people within the last week about this. I think a lot of times you can make decisions and they can all be good and they can all be used by God. And I think there's times you can make decisions that will take you way away from God. Those are not good. All right, so basically, this from about the middle of the 1980s, pray. I've been trying to follow this. Pray, seek wise counsel. Not counsel, wise counsel. List the pros and cons. Don't violate God's law. And make the decision and live with the consequences. All right. Here's the thing, though, with this whole message today. It started with a man making a decision with his family. And he made a decision to go in the wrong direction. Possibly you've made a decision to go in the wrong direction. Well, what is so good is you can make a decision to move in the right direction. And it's very simple. Thank goodness it's very simple. If you have departed from God's will, come back. If you have violated God's will, His moral law, at least, there's other criteria, but at least His moral law, come back. What's the verse? 1 John 1:9. If we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Amen? All right. Next week, Mother's Day. Isn't this good that I'm reminding you, gentlemen? Mother's Day next week. Next week, what we're going to do is we're going to step out and look at Ruth. We're going to look at three key qualities in the life of Ruth. We haven't even studied her yet, but I'm going to do that looking at chapters 2, 3, and 4. How to be a desirable woman. How to be an appealing woman. We're going to look at those three qualities that she had, and that's Mother's Day. So make sure you take care of your responsibility, gentlemen and family members. And then we're going to continue on after that for the next 4 weeks, going through the rest of chapter 1, 2, 3, and 4 in the book of Ruth. So really, where I'm leaving you today, it's pretty dark. It's not good. It's everybody's dead. We went somewhere we shouldn't have gone. Now everybody's dead. And so she is now going to, Naomi is going to come back to Israel. And we're going to look at that story and how it affects the decision-making process Naomi used as opposed to the decision-making process that Elimelech used, her husband. Very cool story. Hope you're going to, I know you'll enjoy it. This has been a neat series. And there are two books in the Bible primarily about women. One is Ruth. What's the other one? Esther. Very good. Queen Esther. And we will do Queen Esther someday. I love, that's an amazing book too. All right. Let's pray, and let's then give an offering to the Lord. Thank you, Lord, for this morning. Thank you for this story, and thank you that as we look at an example, we understand that your will is very important to us in our decision-making processes. Help us to make wise decisions in terms of our relationships, in terms of where we will go, and our relationships with the people we know. Guide us and direct us not to make decisions that go outside of your will, Lord. We just commit our time to you today. Thank you, and we're gracious. We're grateful that we can give to you. In Jesus' name, amen.